good evening. This is the evening message for Sunday, May 17th. Again, I want to thank everybody that came out this morning for the parking lot service. The men counted. I don't know if they counted the dogs or not. I think we had four, five, six dogs there, but they counted 136. Hopefully they only counted the people and didn't count the dogs, but I was glad for everybody that came. Thank you for coming. And again, as I mentioned this morning, the service tonight will be online, and then the service on Wednesday night will be online. And then next week, we'll have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night in the parking lot, and then with plans to go back into the building on Sunday, May 31st, with a lot of things that will be different. And again, I spelled those out in the announcement this morning, and I'll put it in a letter and prepare a video that we can share with people this week so you know what's coming. But again, thanks to all the folks that came this morning. Tonight, I ask you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, a passage of scripture we know as the Beatitudes. And as we're studying the book of Matthew and recently got done with the Sermon on the Mount, this is the part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was talking to his disciples about what he wanted them to be. So the attitudes that he wanted them to have, the Beatitudes. So we're going to read for our scripture reading tonight, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Here's what the Bible says. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time we get to spend in your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us every time we open the Bible to give us an understanding mind, to understand what you've written to us from God. And so I pray that you'll be with each one that listens, that you'll speak to our heart. I pray if there's somebody that's listening that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, this time that we spend in your word will be the time that they're convicted of their sin and their need for a Savior and come to Christ. So just bless each one that listens. Bless your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the Beatitudes, each one of them start with that word blessed, which means happy, truly, truly happy. Before I start my message, I want to make a statement. I'd like you to think about it. There's things in life that can change. There's things in life that can't change. And the happy people are the ones that know the difference between what they can change and what they can't change. And that's a truth that we all need to grasp, that there are some things in our life that can't be changed, and there are some things that can be changed. And rather than get frustrated trying to change the things that can't be changed, we need to be at work and pay attention to the things that can be changed. There's three groups of people when it comes to happiness. The first group is the truly happy people. I mean, you can tell by looking on their countenance. You can tell by looking on their face. They may not even know why they're happy, but they are happy. And so there's one group that's a happy group. There's a second group that are unhappy. And again, you can tell by looking on their face. Many of these people plan to be unhappy, plan to be miserable, but they are truly unhappy. And then there's a third group that's sort of in between those two. They're unhappy people trying to convince themselves and others that they are happy. And so they put a smile on their face and try to look happy, but they're really unhappy. And the unhappy look at the happy and say, man, if I had your situation, your circumstances, I'd be happy too. If I had your finances, if I had your car, if I had your house, if I had your life, I'd be happy. And the happy look at the unhappy and say, I don't understand why you're unhappy. I mean, you know, you have your needs met. You have a car. You have a house. And I've said this many times before, but happiness has very little to do with what we have. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And again, Jesus is not criticizing those who have. He's simply saying there are those who have and there are those who don't have as much as others. But happiness, their happiness shouldn't depend on what they have. It shouldn't depend on the things that they possess. There's many unhappy people that don't know why they're unhappy. And so tonight I want to preach on the subject, happy in the present, happy in the present. And I want to make 3 points tonight. Now, again, my first point has a couple subpoints, three basic points. So here we go. Unhappy people are often those people trying to change that which cannot be changed. Okay. And so they work at changing things, and they get frustrated because those things don't change. And the truth is they're trying to change things that they cannot change. And as a result, they're unhappy. You say, well, preacher, what kind of things in our life are unchangeable? Well, first of all, the past is unchangeable. You cannot change your past. It is done. We read about many in the Bible that tried to change their past. But one good example of a man that tried to change his past and got real unhappy was David. I mean, most of the time we read about David, he was a happy individual. Many of the Psalms are written in the book that we know as Psalms in the Bible were written by David, and they come from a heart of joy. They come from somebody who was happy in the Lord. But there was one time in his life where he focused on the past and worked to change it, and he found out that the past could not be changed. And you can hear his unhappiness at the end of this story, so to speak, when he cries out, Absalom, O Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. And you remember the story. David had committed adultery. He had conceived an illegitimate child. He tried to cover up his sin by murdering the woman who was named Bathsheba's husband, who was named Uriah. And God sent a prophet that stuck his finger in David's face and said, hey, you cannot change the past. You cannot hide your sin. Judgment is going to come. And that judgment did come to David's life. That the little baby that he had conceived died. One of David's sons raped his half-sister. A year later, that sister's brother killed his half-brother and then went into exile. That son, Absalom, came back and led a rebellion against his father. David had to run. He had to flee Jerusalem. He had to flee his throne. And he left all that, not knowing if he'd ever come back. There was a battle between David's forces and the forces of Absalom. And David's forces win. And in that battle, his son Absalom is killed. And so David stands over the body of his son, weeping, and saying, Absalom, Absalom, oh, my son, Absalom, would that I had died for you. Absalom was not dead because of the 3 darts that Joab, David's general, plunged into his heart. Joab didn't kill him. Absalom was dead because of David's sin. And when David said, oh, Absalom, would God I had died for thee, what he was saying is, Would God I could go back in time and undo what I did. Would God I had never been on the rooftop. Would God I had never seen Bathsheba bathing. Would God I had never called her. Would God I had never slept in the bed of adultery. And the message that's in this story, the main message is if we sin, it's going to be found out and God's going to punish us. But another message is that we cannot change the past. David, you cannot go back and change the past. It can't be changed. And that's exactly what David's general, Joab, told him. He said, David, I know you're king, and I know you could kill me for what I'm about to say, but there's a group of men outside, your army, that has stood with you. They fought for you. They put their lives at risk for you. And now you're more upset about the death of Absalom, who led this rebellion against you, than you are happy with the people that stood by you. You're more of a friend to your enemy than a friend to your friend. And what Joab was saying to David, forget the past. You cannot change it. These men that stood with you, they know your past. They forgave you your past. They fought for you. And you need to do the same thing. You need to forgive. You need to forget the past. You've asked for God's forgiveness, and God has granted you that forgiveness. Your people have forgiven you. You need to forgive yourself and leave the past in the past. There's a lot of people that are unhappy today because they're trying to change the past. And they're ignoring the people that have forgiven them and forgiven their mistakes in the past and that stand with them today. But because they're still living in the past and can't forgive themselves, they're ignoring the people that are standing by them. We read in the Gospel of Luke the story of the prodigal son. He left home. And I'm sure that after he got home, he had, and on his way home, and after he got home, he had a lot of regrets. I'm sure he wished many times that he could undo the decision that he made when he asked his father for his part of the inheritance, that he could undo the decision that he made to gather it all up and go into a far country, to undo the decisions that he made to spend his inheritance in riotous living, undo the fact that he ended up in the hog pen feeding the swine and was so hungry that he was tempted to eat the food that he was feeding the swine. And if he had gone home and been forgiven by his father, but continued to live in the past and spent his life trying to change the past, he would have missed the blessings that the present offered to him. The robe that his father put on him, the ring that he put on his finger, the sandals that he put on his feet, the fatted calf that he killed in the party that he had with his friends. Listen, you cannot change your past. God will not change it either. God's not going to rewind your life and say, here, have another go at it. He'll forgive you if you ask him. He'll forget it if you ask him, but you can't change the past. God won't, you can't, and so don't live in the past. And again, many unhappy people are trying to change things that can't be changed, and again, they're unhappy because they try to change the past, and it can be done. There's something else that can't be changed. You can't change people. You can't change your spouse. You can't change your children. I mean, the only time you can change your children is when they were little and they needed their diaper changed. Now, again, when they're young, you can mold them. You can instill in them biblical values. You can instill in them character. But you do not have the ability in and of yourself to change other people. And there's many, many people that are unhappy today because they spend a good part of their life trying to change somebody else. And it's impossible. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Only God can change people. And again, you've known people and I've known people, they've gone into marriage. They've got a spouse, they got a husband, and they got a wife. And they said, oh boy, now that I've got him, I'm going to change him. Or now that I've got her, I'm going to change her. And I'll tell you from years of counseling that that seldom ever works. You seldom change your spouse. I mean, divorce courts are full of people that have gotten married and said, well, when I get married, I'm going to change this person. You cannot change another person. Now, you can pray for your spouse, or you can pray for your children, or you can pray for others that they would change, because prayer does change things. I mean, the Bible promises that prayer does change things. But here's what happens. Prayer usually doesn't change the people you're praying for. It changes you. It changes you. Every time we pray, we become a little bit more like Christ. And that's the reason we ought to pray. As we pray, as we go into communion with God, it allows God to change us, to work a work in our heart. And again, the key to happiness is not trying to get God to change others, but allowing God to change you. Now, here's an example. I can't get you saved. I cannot change your eternal destination. I cannot change whether you go to heaven or hell. I can present the gospel. I can tell you that you're a sinner. I can tell you there's a penalty for that sin. I can tell you how Jesus went to the cross and paid that penalty for your sin. I can tell you that if you trust him and let him apply that payment to your sin debt, that he will forgive you of the penalty of your sin. I can tell you that if you accept Christ as your Savior, you can go to heaven. I can tell you if you reject him, you can go to hell. But I cannot decide for you. I cannot choose for you. Nobody else can either. Your mom and dad can't. Your grandpa and grandma can't. Your brother or your sister can't. You have to decide. The only thing that I can do or anybody else can do is put the gospel before you, explain it as best that we can, but you have to make the choice. We cannot change you. We cannot change your eternal destination. The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So it's up to you. Are you going to believe or are you going to believe not? Are you going to receive him or receive not? Are you going to put your trust in Christ or not trust him? Jesus is the only way to heaven. And as I was saying this morning in the message, it's not 90% Jesus and 10% you. It's not 99% Jesus and 1% you. It's 100% Christ. And again, I cannot change your eternal destination. Nobody can. Only you can do that by coming to Christ. So again, point number one, unhappy people often try to change things that can't be changed. They try to change the past. They try to change other people. Point number two, unhappy people are often people trying to leverage the future instead of trusting God. Okay? They say, okay, God, I can't change the past. You won't change the past, but let's you and I work on the future. Let's you and I manipulate the future. Let's make sure that my future happens this way. And if we learn anything from the past, it ought to be that we don't know how to run our lives. We do not know what's best for us. The fact that we have failed in the past ought to teach us that if God's let us control our future, we'd mess that up too. And so rather than thinking we know better than God about how our life ought to play out, we know better than God how our future ought to turn out. We ought to just trust him. I mean, when David made the decisions that he made when it came to Bathsheba and Uriah, he thought, well, I've messed up, but I can manipulate the future. I can manipulate what's going to happen today and tomorrow, and I can make my life a whole lot better. But that's not the way it turned out. the more David tried to correct or hide, I guess you might say, hide his sin, the worse the situation became. I mean, he just muddied it up more and more and more. Our idea of what's best for us in no way compares to God's idea about what's best for us. Again, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago in our prayer meeting study. We live for today. I mean, we don't even know what's going to happen the rest of the day. But God, our life is a tale that's written. God knows what it is, and he knows the whole story. He can see the end, and he can prepare us today for what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year. He has a goal in mind for what he wants to accomplish in our life, for what he wants us to make it. And we'd be a whole lot better off just trusting him to work in our life as opposed to trying to manipulate our future, trying to control our future. I read this hymn this morning as part of my message, but I'll read a part of it again tonight. We just need to trust him. We just need to trust him. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. So, unhappy people are those that try to change things that can't be changed. Unhappy people are those that try to leverage the future. Point number three, happy people are those that live today. They don't worry about the past. They don't worry about the future. And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't plan for the future. We ought to plan for the future. But we shouldn't worry about the future. We shouldn't prepare the future. The only time that we get to live is the present. I mean, the past is done. The future may come or it may not. But if we spend too much time either in the past or the future, we're going to miss the present. And the happy people in this world are the people that have learned this truth. The past is past. We had opportunities. They're gone. We cannot change that. The future's coming, but it's not here yet. Today is the only time I have. I need to live today. I need to work today. I need to love today. I need to serve today. I need to enjoy today. I quote that verse often. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and it's the only one he's given us. It's the only one that we have. Yesterdays are gone. Tomorrow days, the days in the future, maybe they will come and maybe they won't. But this is the day that the Lord has made for me. I will rejoice and be glad in it. In it. Enjoy today. Forget the past. You can't change the past. Forget the future. Again, you shouldn't. We ought to plan for the future, but we can't live in the future. The only time that we can live is today. And that's especially true when it comes to the matter of salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Nowhere in the Bible does it say tomorrow is the day of salvation or next week is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is never here. Today is always today. And so today, right now, you have an opportunity to receive Christ. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer in answer to his question, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You believe in your heart that Jesus is God's son. You believe that he went to the cross, and on the cross he paid for your sins. And then you receive that gift that God's able to offer to every person because of the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. We're all sinners. There's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God. And that starts now. I mean, if you've never received Christ, you're living apart from God now. And if you die and go into eternity, you'll live apart from God forever and ever and ever. And again, you can't receive Christ yesterday. You can't receive him tomorrow. The only time you can receive them is today, is now. Would you do that? Would you take advantage of today? Would you accept the invitation that God extends to every person to come to him and receive Christ? Just simply pray, Father, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to be separated from you, but I believe that Jesus died for me and for my sin, and I'm asking now him now to be my Savior. I pray that you pray that prayer. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the time we've been able to spend in it. I pray that we would be a happy people. And I know I've preached before that happiness doesn't depend on our happiness depends on circumstances. Our joy comes from you. And so I pray that everybody has the joy unspeakable and full of glory that comes from knowing that they're one of your children, that comes from knowing that they have a home reserved for them in heaven. But Father, I pray we not only be joyful people, we be happy people. And we can't be happy people trying to change things we can't change or trying to leverage our future. We can only be happy people as we live for today. And so I pray you'll help us all to change our perspective if we need to learn from the past, but not live in the past, to plan for the future, but not live in the future, but live today. Work today, love today, just fill each day. This is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.